2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Thanksgiving Eve, right here before the big day, we got the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, I'm just wondering how many of your providers had a six-figure win this week. Well, ours had one, but it was fantastic. Big special congrats goes out to Conrad Myrick from the Okie State right there by Keith. Maybe take him out to a steak dinner or something. He won $100,004. $104,228 on Monday night. It was fantastic for him. Mostly done by the Domination Station. So, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that you too could be a part of all this great success. Just use the promo code podcast when you go to DFSArmy.com and you get 20% off each month of your subscription as well. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, like I just said. Again, for that's not only for NBA, that's for all sports. And then the VIP articles and tools and whatnot. And, of course, the Slack chat, which is open 24/7, even on holidays. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast for 20% off each month. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy on Twitter there as well. Before we get into, you know, what we're doing here for Thanksgiving, make sure, and of course, this is after you listen to our podcast, make sure you listen to the Geeks Thanksgiving special where he breaks down all three games that are going on tomorrow. So that's a fantastic listen. But in terms of importance, it is number two because we got a plentiful NBA slate today. So glad to have Keith along here side. What do you got going on for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Thanksgiving is probably my least favorite holiday.
I can tell.
The reason is because we get up in the morning. My wife makes some amazing, amazing breakfast sausage balls.
Like that. Okay.
And so we chow on those, but then we drive an hour to her dad's. And then we leave there after about 2 o'clock, drive back to Broken Arrow, which is about, you know, coming back down an hour. And,
I'm probably falling asleep by this point, but okay.
Huh?
I said I'm probably falling asleep by this point, but okay.
Yeah. Then, you know, we've got Thanksgiving with her family, and then we drive an hour north to my parents, and we eat pie.
Okay.
So, and hang out with them for a little bit. Then we come back. So
it's a lot of mileage. I mean, you might as well just fly and get the frequent flyer miles.
Well, if towns like Henrietta and Ulaga had, you know, airports or
great tourist destination.
Oh, no kidding, right? Or I had a helicopter, then we probably would. But, you know, since they don't, I can't.
Helicopters, man. I need to get me one of them. I gotta work out the budget, rework some numbers, see what we can get going this month.
Hey, Jersey's, all we gotta do
Jersey's
is
just crazy. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't know how the roads are there in Oklahoma, but I feel like you could do a lot of speeding. Here in Jersey, you get stopped a lot. We got lights on highways. It's all sorts of ridiculous. We got roundabouts going. If you want to make a left, you got to make a right turn. There's all sorts of crazy shit going. So
we've got some spots like that too, depending on where you're going. But it's a lot like that. I know some cops here in Broken Arrow that actually play DFS, and I don't speed in Broken Arrow, but you know, outside of the city limits, you know, I do push the limits a little bit. A cool 80. Usually is what, you know, happens in the vehicle.
Sure, sure.
You know, a nice cruise So that's always a good thing. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. We get to play on bouncy houses and,
Oh boy.
eat tons of food, and
I like it. I
I
like it.
haven't watched a full afternoon Cowboys game in, well, since me and my wife started dating and got together. It
You ain't missing
was,
much, don't worry.
yeah. And I don't play, and I'm probably the one, major DFS guy out there that does not play the Thanksgiving slate.
Really?
Yeah,
Interesting.
I don't touch it, not for any other reason other than it's too hectic in my household.
Since you're saving money on DFS tomorrow, maybe you can go ahead. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a company out there that they made pants that are way adjustable in the waist, and they've also got cargo pockets in case you want to take some leftovers out sneakily. I don't know what the company name is, what the brand name, anything like that, but they are available. So I'm just saying, if you're not going to spend your money on DFS, maybe you could spend it on adjustable pants with optional kangaroo pouches.
Okay.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
would just I would just much rather wear my regular pants and then
are you a tinfoil guy? You're like a Tupperware guy? You take it out normal like the rest of America? Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm saying, I'm sure some of our listeners out there have put a turkey leg in their pocket at one point or another. Just saying.
I mean,
I don't know who,
mine
but
are
I'm
usually
sure there is
dripping
one.
with gravy, so
Big gravy fan. Big gravy fan. Yeah, so for Thanksgiving tomorrow, I'm just going like 2 blocks away, my cousin, at my uncle's house, aunt uncle's house, like that, and it's gonna be a nice easy day. So nothing major, nothing anything like that. Just a quick trip down the road, and that's it.
do you take an Uber or do you walk?
I'll probably Uber over there. You know,
You lazy bastard.
a lot of saucing it up on Thanksgiving Day. Hey, yeah, I live on a main road. I don't need to be getting clocked on the way there. So,
You lazy bastard.
yeah, we'll
You're
see.
supposed to be able to work off the turkey.
We'll
So,
see. We'll see.
anyways, I do have a little bit of an announcement. Schedule for Monday, unfortunately, because of unforeseen circumstances that I talked to you about, will be there. Unless you can find a co-host, there will not be a podcast on Monday.
All right. I'll probably go
So,
solo.
Yeah, I will not be on the podcast on Monday. Let me rephrase that.
All
So,
right.
I just found out literally about 15 seconds ago.
Okay. Breaking news to the DFS Army News Desk. All right. Let's just get into it. Remember, we have changed the format of the podcast, going position by position. Makes everything a little more compact in there, like your waist's going to be tomorrow on Thanksgiving in them pants,
And
unless
we
you get
don't
the
give out
adjustable one.
all our secrets for free. Isn't
Man,
it? Do you think
that's
it's
a
a
thought.
coincidence that, we talked about some of these guys on the pod that the guy won the $104,000 with, but we didn't talk about everybody, but they were mentioned in both your final notes or your article and my final notes on Slack. And, he
Well,
turns around
it's
and
just
we
a
changed the format.
combination of the heavenly masses.
Yeah, we changed the format and, we have an Army member. We had a
Oh,
huge
that's I
night,
see
but
what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Okay. All right. I was late to that party. Okay. All right. Well, without further ado, let us get into it. There's a pretty big game in Oklahoma City tonight. Defending champ Golden State Warriors will be there, and Russell Westbrook will be waiting there for him with his new friends. So, if you look at the four games in which Russell Westbrook went up against the Warriors last season, the Warriors did a good job on him in the first meeting and the last meeting that they faced him. Westbrook still with the productive, fantasy point night, but he didn't play over 30 minutes in the two games that he fell below salary-based expectations. However, there were two games where he put up identical, fantasy point totals. In one, he had 72 DK points, 63 FanDuel points. The other one was 73, 62. So, again, just similar on those fronts. But part of the reason why Westbrook didn't do good in those matchups against the Warriors was because they were getting their ass kicked. I think with Paul George, with Melo in town, you're not going to see as much of an ass kicking, but this game should be close, and that's what Westbrook's success is going to hinge on tonight.
Yeah, it's I don't really honestly know what to kind of think of this game yet. I'm torn because part of me wants to, you know, kind of buy into the narrative, you know, Westbrook versus Durant and, you know, Draymond versus Steven Adams and, you know, Paul George versus Durant and Melo.
Protect the McNuggets,
you know,
Stevie.
Yeah, no kidding. He needs to come out to warmups with the jock strap with the cup in it over his pants. You know, that would be the ultimate troll to Draymond. I would, not that I don't like Steven Adams, and I have actually met the dude.
Great musician.
He is phenomenal, and he's hilarious. But, you know, that would be the ultimate troll.
Sure.
And he's fully capable of it. I mean, he made me say please to take a picture with him. So,
well, not only a basketball player, but a gentleman as well.
Yep, because it took me off guard because he goes, what do you say? I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
He goes, what do you say? I was like, please. He goes, okay. But yeah, I mean, Westbrook, he's going to be fully in play. He's obviously, you know, had a good night the other night. And okay, guys, I'm going to go a little bit on a soapbox here, but why people are X-ing out a guy with triple-double upside, even with the combination of George and Anthony in the lineup, I have no idea.
Well, I'll give you an idea. It's because he's missed salary-based expectations a ton this season.
You're playing in tournaments. You have triple-double upside, and he's the cheapest he had ever been that night.
I'm just saying, you want to know why people are X-ing him out. That's exactly why.
It doesn't make sense. Like, you don't X out a guy that has – you X out a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, who can't hit that, you know, who can't exceed those salary-based expectations. Russ is not that guy. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes plenty of sense. But, again, you got to understand that he is on the court with two usage monsters there, with Melo and PG. So, at times, you know, we're like – Obviously, we've seen it already, but we're not going to see the kind of numbers that Russell Westbrook had last season. He just doesn't have to do as much.
I know that, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is why you are going – if you're trying to win a tournament, okay, mm-hmm. The main thing I'm trying to capture is upside. I'm trying to capture as much of it as physically possible. And if
upside.
That,
say with me, kids. Upside.
Upside your head. and if that means that I'm going to – that does not include me Xing out a guy who has the ability, even with those two on there, to hit a triple-double and go big. Like, I'm Xing out a guy like, you know, a Kristaps Porzingis, who I don't think can ever pay off a $9,500 salary, you know. I'm Xing out a guy, John Wall, who I don't think can pay out a $9,700 salary. It's, we'll get to him here in just a second. I'm Xing out those type of guys. I'm not Xing out an Anthony Davis, a Giannis, a Harden, unless it's against the Spurs. You know, I'm not Xing out those guys. Does that make sense? Like,
absolutely. Tons.
So it doesn't make sense to me.
My argument again and all that was just again too, you got to remember that we have a lot of people that are new, especially in the Army, to NBA DFS this season, so all they know is really Russ just not being able to hit these big numbers. Like, everybody who's played for a while knows that he's capable of these things, but the guys just coming in right now are like, what the hell, I thought this guy always put up a triple-double. So I get it from their perspective. Don't agree with it, but I understand the hesitancy.
Yeah. So that's him. So, yeah, he's in play. We spent a lot of time on this. And do I expect him to go bananas? I mean, I would not be shocked at all. But if you were to tell me that, you know, would I be shocked if he only gets like 45-50? No, I wouldn't be shocked there either. So I think both are in the, you know, very high percentage range of outcomes. We know that Russ is an emotional guy. We know that he likes to go hard, but it's not like you know, the defensive efficiency for the Golden State Warriors over the last couple games has been really, really, really improved. And the problem I have with Russ right now is not his ability to produce numbers. It's his ability. It's some of his decision making. I was watching the game a little bit more intently the other night, and I don't know if it was because he was trying to make it a point that he was going to get everybody involved, but he doesn't seem to be as aggressive going to the hole and going to the cup as he was last year. And people are going to be like, duh, obviously, but I mean,
took the words.
It's
right
almost
out of my
like
mouth.
He made it. It's almost like he over exuberated the point that he was going to get Melo and Paul George involved by driving, then kicking out. Mm-hmm. He did that a lot. So that's kind of, and maybe it was just the game. I don't know, but it you know, it's not like they had that game in hand in the fourth quarter. I would have liked to see him go and try to finish a couple more times and try to get to the free throw line. So that's something that we're going to have to watch going forward.
All right. From one soap opera to another, we've got Eric Bledsoe returning to the scene of the crime in Phoenix. He'll be taking on a Suns team that is allowing the most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards, second most fantasy points per game overall to teams out there. And then, you know, again, I expect the ownership levels to just be absolutely massive. I mean, Bledsoe has exceeded 6x value in two of the last three games, so you got that. I got the only reason I would say to fade Bledsoe would be ownership percentage. But another reason here, too, I was looking at the matchup between these two teams, and Milwaukee has just absolutely kicked their ass, you know, in three of the last four times that they played them. I mean, four straight wins over them in the last four games. I mean, if you're going to fade Bledsoe, yeah, you do it because you're fading the ownership percentage, but have the rosary beads ready praying for a blowout, too.
I think you can kind of pair it, though. You want to go to and if you need to know what a guy can do when he's pissed off at a team, I present to you Exhibit A. Victor Oladipo. Actually, hold on. Exhibit A is Kevin Durant coming back to Oklahoma City for the first time last year.
Is that really Exhibit A? I mean, I feel like there's been like Exhibit A through
recent memories. Like, and then Exhibit B would be Victor Oladipo the other night. And Bledsoe was treated worse than either one of those guys, probably put together. Yeah, Bledsoe's going to be extremely highly owned tonight. He's the chalk. I think he's underpriced in this matchup. It's unbelievable. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that his ownership is going to be higher tonight? If he hadn't have put up the game he put up Monday night, mm-hmm. Do you think his ownership would be as high, or do you think it wouldn't have even mattered considering?
Well, I think the main thing to look at here is his price. It just like it feels like it's too low to ignore. I've never been a Bledsoe guy. Like I'm not an Eric Bledsoe fan. I'd rather him, you know, on somebody else's team than my own. But again, the matchup, we've seen this matchup plenty of times produce great results for the people involved. You know that if the Bucks have any sort of respect for Eric Bledsoe, they're going to let him, you know, try to absolutely stick this to the Suns tonight. And I think it will happen. So I don't know. It's just, it's going to be incredibly hard to fade him tonight in this matchup. And again, I think the only way he doesn't get to like 40 fantasy points is if it's just like a massive blowout, and the Bucks have shown that they can do it before, but oh boy, I think they're gonna let Bledsoe get his
or if
what.
He struggles mightily.
Yeah,
like,
but
I mean, because we let's
against the Suns
trying too hard.
Nah, foul trouble, but
I mean
these aren't the likeliest of outcomes. I think him dominating is going to be the likeliest of outcomes.
It is Jason Kidd.
It is.
It is Jason Kidd.
Maybe him and Monroe get into a fight, and they say, you know, I was more hated by my team. I don't know.
I don't think Monroe was hated. I just think he was disrespected.
Okay, why we're being picky on my words today, man. My goodness.
I'm sorry. Be better with your word choice.
Oh, man. Like, hey, no, I was just disrespected. They are in the same family tree. But, again, you got a price check on Bledsoe on DK?
No, but I can find it real quick. Hold on.
All right. It's just the big thing. The 6,400 on FanDuel is insane.
He is 65.
Yeah. So same thing. I mean, there's no way that in my right mind that I'd probably fade him tonight. Sounds crazy because all I need is the wind to be blown the right way to fade somebody. But this is just a situation that I don't know. Like Sunday, we were talking about Omri Caspi and him being, you know, in the starting lineup for Kevin Durant, him being $3,200. Again, like you want to try and fade some of these things because there could be an inkling. But again, a guy like Caspi, you know, who put up 32 points that day against the Nets, it was just an opportunity that I don't think you could pass up.
He was still only 27% owned, I think.
I think I did the $15 single entry that day, and he was like just below 50.
On DraftKings?
No. I do not play the NBA over there anymore. Trial basis. Did not work. But yeah, on FanDuel, he was pretty highly owned. I mean, nothing like the 78.5% of Steph Curry that day, but, you know, same shit.
I'm not remembering right, but I didn't think he was that highly owned, as highly owned. But anyways, that doesn't matter. It's here nor there.
All right, so we got those two point guards there in their own little
bubble,
you know, soap operas that are going on there. Who else you like today that could shock the masses?
We need to talk about this situation. Okay. We talk a lot about, you know, depicting, which site you play who on. Okay. Yep. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what John Wall's price is on, FanDuel for me?
Our good friend John Wall is listed at a 9,600.
You want to know what he is on DK?
I sure as hell would.
87.
Oh my. Oh my. What have they done?
Well, he's coming off of missing a game.
Right, the shoulder strain.
And then playing hurt against two tougher, slower-paced teams, so they've adjusted his salary based on a recent performance or I don't know, whatever. But, like, didn't we just see Jeff Teague go off in this matchup, like, 2 days ago?
Sure. Did he go off?
I can't remember.
Well, here we go. We're about to look. Yeah, he did pretty well.
Okay.
39.4 on FanDuel.
So
three blocks, three steals.
I still have the same thought process on FanDuel, where he's, in my opinion, he's got no profit potential.
Okay.
But if I'm with 14 games, I'm only playing, I can pick them on DK. But if I were to be playing, you know, a regular classic lineup on DraftKings, I would make sure that John Wall is probably pretty close to being in there. So
yeah, at that price, it sounds good. And again, it's something that might just slip past people tonight on a 13, 14, without however many games are on the slate tonight.
14,
yes, that's right. Only two teams not playing. But yeah, it's something that might slip by. Something that's interesting, too, about going against Charlotte. I know Taco and you have been working on that adjusted that DVP chart, and apparently if you look at it, I get unlike any regular DVP chart, Charlotte looks like they're the best against point guards, but against on the adjusted DVP, Charlotte actually pretty bad against the point guard position.
Yeah, that's a huge discrepancy, and that's something that we like to look at. Like if you sit there and you look at the DVPs for DraftKings, which actually shows them, then you know, you can take advantage of it. And that's one of the ways that we did it the other night. I mean, we were all over Jeff Teague that night, and it was just kind of one of those things that we loved.
Nothing will ever top Jeff Teague in Miami, though.
Oh, no. I don't know if it can either. So,
got some interesting, especially Jeff Teague. Again, he's going up against Orlando. Minnesota, heavy favorites tonight. I believe they're 8 or 9 point favorites there at home, taking on Mophead Elf and the Magic. So that's a nice way that could happen tonight. The Sacramento point guard duo, George Hill, De'Aaron Fox. Very interesting against the Lakers, who, not the Kings, but the Lakers are on the back end of back-to-back. Lakers allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to point guards. And it's also, I believe, is this the first Ball-Fox matchup of the NBA era?
It is.
It is. So that should be pretty fun to watch. I don't know if we're going to get that on the – that's going to be on the main marquee tonight. Fox versus Ball, since the Lakers are on the back end, maybe see a little more Clarkson or whatever. But it's interesting to note, though, that the Lakers are 1.5 point favorites in this game tonight, despite being on the back end. So I guess that tells you what Vegas thinks about it.
Yeah. The one thing I'm worried about with De'Aaron Fox, I know he's cheap, but it's kind of the minutes. You know, the other night, Frank Mason, who actually I think is a better point guard currently. I thought this coming out of college. But it's Frank Mason can directly affect how much run De'Aaron Fox gets. And so can George Hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, George Hill's playing 30 minutes, but they're playing a lot of these guys out there together. They're playing a lot. With Buddy Hield coming back, I think it really does muddy up a lot of this situation.
Buddy is back tonight?
Buddy Ball is
in the building?
Buddy is expected to be back. I don't have word on a minutes restriction or anything.
So. Buddy Ball is in the building. All right, here's an interesting one. So, usually, whenever the Cavs are on the slate, we just load up on their backcourt going up against them. I don't know what the hell happened. Avery Bradley in that last game. Woo! Thanks for your hot start and then absolutely nothing. But Spencer Dinwiddie tonight for the Nets. Now, I know no one believes Dinwiddie's price tag is what it should be, but you really can't argue with this production over the last three games since D'Angelo Russell has been out of the lineup. Earlier, Dinwiddie has breakout game against the Cavaliers. So I think this is an interesting matchup. I was looking at the numbers between these two teams. Obviously, the Nets beat the Cavs earlier this season in Brooklyn. But, you know, while the Cavs have been dominant against the Nets over, you know, recent history, these games have been pretty close between the two teams. So we'll talk about that when we get to LeBron later on in the small forwards. But, again, I think this game should be close enough for a lot of people to hit some value. Again, Dinwiddie, you're paying up to be contrarian here. So I think you could probably get better dollar per points out of somebody else, but this is just more of a tournament play.
No, I'm out. Okay. I think he's going to be overowned.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at his monstrous price tag.
Yeah, because we all know the wings against Cleveland and blah, 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 blah. But, like, people have been plug and playing him for a month, you know. Or not a month, but, you know, whenever D'Angelo Russell's out, they just automatically plug and play him. And he's performed. So I think people are going to blindly just say, oh, well, okay, he's not cheap, but he's not expensive. And here you go. Now, that could change. This is just my initial thoughts. This could change as the day goes on and I start to see some chatter. But I think right
Rachel,
now
I
he's
see
going
some
to be,
chatter. It's I, going down.
I think right now he's going to be overwhelmed.
I don't think so. Like, again, I hate to refer back to Sunday, since not that many people were playing that day. But even again, that one contest that I was in, Dinwiddie. Well, you had Curry at 70 something, and then you had Dinwiddie at like 15%.
You can't take Sunday because a lot of people.
Hey, I did the disclaimer. Like, I didn't say no disrespect, but I said I hate to keep deferring back to it. So, again, same family tree. But I don't know. Like, I don't think people get – I don't think Spencer Dinwiddie gets the people all excited. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. A couple other notes I just wanted to throw out there. Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh my God,
Mets.
Are we going to – never mind.
He's taking on Memphis, who is allowing the fourth most fantasy points per game to point guards.
No.
Again, so this could be DSJ, could be Berea.
No.
No.
I can't even say that word. I don't know how many times.
Vehemently.
Yes. Disagree. 100%.
All right. Is there a skewing in the stats?
No.
Or this is just how you feel about it?
It's exactly how I feel about it. Like,
all right.
Why do I want to go get a guy that's 6,500 on FanDuel, okay, I can go get Ricky Rubio against Chicago in a better matchup?
He was the next guy I was going to mention, so let's just segue right into it. No, just him and one other guy.
Or I can go get Jeff Teague for $200 more, or I can go get Eric Bledsoe for $100 less. Like, Dennis Smith Jr., like, there's times to play him. Mm-hmm. A Dallas-Memphis game is not that time. Because you won't have to worry about ownership other than Eric Bledsoe on a 14-game slate.
Yeah, so Smith hasn't played more than 30 minutes in the last three games. And actually, J.J. Barea, who is a shooting guard on FanDuel, interestingly enough, he has
for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been crushing it here over the last three of the last four games, getting those minutes at least 23 in three of those last four games. So keep an eye on these sons of bitches. The other guy I wanted to mention was Rubio. You like Rubio, but he's another guy that's been playing fewer minutes lately.
Well, yeah, but that has everything. That had everything to do with, I think, the injury. Mm-hmm. We got to remember that he did miss a game and then was battling, you know, an injury there for a little while. So I think that's where that had to come to do with it. I was throwing him out there as an example. He's in a good matchup, you know, facing a team coming off the back end of a back-to-back. You know, one of the two teams that are, you know, both teams that played last night, pretty much the NBA said, screw you guys. You guys are bad. Let's get this done. So that's kind of what I feel. You know, he's in a good matchup, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, I know. All right, last guy, and I got him in my caution list today, but Rajon Rondo. So the numbers look great on him. The price looks fun on him. I keep screaming that he's got to share the court now with guys like AD and Boogie. So all these big stat nights are.
Yeah, but Rondo doesn't shoot. He gets his points by assists and rebounds.
Right.
You know,
but
if you get
rebounds are being grabbed by AD and Boogie, and you know, sometimes they're running a two-man game with themselves.
Not always. I mean, Rondo's in there. Rondo's the one that's controlling the ball when he's in there. Rondo being in there, I think we've seen it. It directly affects Drew Holiday more than it affects Boogie and AD.
Okay.
Like I'm not saying that Rondo's in play. Where's he at here? I'm trying to pull him up.
5,200 on FanDuel.
Oh, I was looking for him on my positional tab here. I mean, San Antonio is typically a spot where we can attack. He did play 30 minutes. Right now, we've got him projected at almost a 6x value. You know, that's probably pushing it a little bit, but he definitely has the capabilities of getting there if he shoots halfway decent from the field. But, I mean, 52 is a lot to pay for him. Like, I don't like paying for – I don't like paying a premier price on Rajon Rondo. We've talked about this a lot.
You just take a look at, you know, the games that he's played so far. I mean, all of his numbers are really coming from assists. He had the one game against Denver. Congratulations. I could score 13 points on him. But – you know, it's all assists, and that's really what you're paying for.
Yeah, I agree.
So, again, you will be on the cautious list, Mr. Rondo. All right, any other point guards? We rolling?
There's one guy.
Okay.
That
one man.
Was brought up last night, and it's because he's min price, and I feel he's going to be popular, and I'm telling the Army, don't fall into this trap. Do not play Jose Calderon, please.
No Jose Calderon. He even had a good game last time.
Go play Raymond Felton. If you're going to play somebody, go play Raymond Felton.
Oh, believe me, I am not a Jose Calderon fan. And somebody asked me about him that day, and I gave them an answer that only an a-hole could produce. But, yeah, I mean, then he goes off. But, again, I am not in the Jose Calderon coalition. That will never happen.
Yep.
Never!
All right, let's move on.
What would you say?
I said let's move on.
Let us. All right, so shooting guard position tonight. In my opinion, it's a good night to have James Harden in your lineup. Taking a look at his past performances against the Nuggets, he has been absolutely fantastic. At his current price on FanDuel, has reached salary-based expectations 7 times over the last 5 seasons, which doesn't sound great, but his price is pretty expensive, so it's a lot of points to get to. But he absolutely demolished them last year. Again, Denver, terrible against backcourts. I like some Harden.
I'm not sure what to do there, just because of the fact I think he's going to be one of the lower-owned studs on the slate. I think everybody's going to go to Durant, Westbrook, LeBron, Boogie, AD before they go to Harden. I agree with your reasoning and everything. I just want to see more court time with him and Chris Paul on the court.
Sure.
Not saying that I won't play him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, for me, I want to see more court time so I can feel more confident about playing him at an 11-6 price tag. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great tournament play because anytime you can get one of these studs for, you know, a low ownership that have, even in a tough matchup, go for it. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things like, you know, do I want Harden or do I want LeBron or do I want Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid or DeMarcus Cousins or Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the decisions that you have to make on a 14-game slate.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you look at it in terms of pricing, where it's Russell Westbrook, who's right there, what, 10,000? This is FanDuel, of course. And then you got James Harden there at 11.6. It seems like, oh, my God, like, why? Yeah, of course I'm going to go to Westbrook. That's so much more savings. But, yeah, I believe this one, like, when you're making your lineups today, it's gonna be a weird concoction. But, I mean, you still can have, like, a Russell Westbrook, Eric Bledsoe, James Harden as your core three and then roll from there. I mean, I have it set right now as that, but – I mean, again, things are bound to change, as they always do throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about somebody in that same game who's pretty interesting. Will Barton, who went bananas for the Nuggets last game. He's actually seen the most minutes, 294 of them, with Millsap off the court this season. I mean, it's only translated into a 22.8% usage rate, but Barton went absolutely bananas in that last game of the what I like to call the post-Millsap era. I played over 36 minutes in that game. So pretty damn good matchup here for Barton tonight. Probably going to be chalky again, but are you going to Barton?
Not if I can't find him on the sim sheet, I won't. I don't know how 14 games it's making.
Water almost went everywhere.
I'd almost rather go to Gary Harris.
Okay.
Just kind of to pivot.
Gary.
Yeah, I think I'd almost rather go to Gary Harris. I mean, they're the same price, and I think that, you know, after Will Barton puts up 37, you know, Gary, it's not like Gary Harris had a bad game. I mean, he played 38 minutes. If I'm going to get the same production out of both of them and, you know, get the same amount of minutes, but I'm going to get lower ownership with Gary Harris, why not?
Right. Now, remember, we'd always say that with Denver, it's pretty much Jokic and Millsap that really have any upside on this team. Everybody else just hits their 5x value, and then that's that. Well, now Jokic has to, you know, probably go above and beyond, and now somebody else has to kind of take that torch for the Nuggets. Is it going to be, you know, more that Barton Harris? You see maybe like a Murray or Moutier stepping up in it all?
I honestly think it could be Wilson Chandler.
Oh, gross.
I never said
he
it.
He wasn't even one of the options.
I know. But, I mean, I think it could be him.
He is questionable tonight. Keep that in mind.
I know, but he played the other night.
Just saying.
Well, I mean.
His bones are aching. Actually, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no, he didn't. Sorry. I was looking at the Lakers game. Okay. So if Wilson Chandler, let's talk about this for a second. If Wilson Chandler's out, then yes, you can go to Gary Harris, Will Barton. I personally think that Gary Harris is the better play. He doesn't rely as much on jump shooting. And then it's the cluster of big men that's all in there. I mean, you've got Juan Hernan Gomez, who played 22 minutes. You have Kenneth Faried, who played 19 minutes. You've got Trey Lyles, who played 18 minutes. You've got,
big Lyles fan.
You know, Darrell Arthur, who did not play. Where is it? They still have Richard Jefferson, who did not play. And then you've got, they could run out Murray, Moutier. They could go ultra small. I mean, there's a tons of, and it's a Mike Malone, rotation. So you're not going to know. And we could be 3 months down the line and Millsap's about to return and we could still not know. I don't know exactly where I'm going to go yet on this. Shooting guard is one of these where I think I might try to save some money as much as possible. And try to hit lightning in a bottle tonight in some of mine.
Yay, lightning in a bottle. Well, all right, let's with the news, Patrick Beverley is going to be out for tonight's game. That certainly makes Lou Williams a lot more appealing. Yay, nay on Lou.
A lot more. Yeah, he's become the highest owned shooting guard now on the slate. No question. So
Clippers at Atlanta tonight,
especially since the fact that, you know, FanDuel was kind of prepping for Patrick Beverley coming back and playing 30 minutes, and now all of a sudden we get this bombshell. They dropped his price from 71 all the way down to 54.
Yeah. Not in one day, but it was gradual.
No, it wasn't.
Ah, he was 6,000 last game.
On Sunday?
Yeah, that was last game.
Okay.
Hey, you can't just deny that Sunday ever exists in NBA land. It
exists. We're two games removed from him dropping a 60. Two games removed from it, Al.
Not to be a dick, but it's three. It's three. So
whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Dick.
Hey, we don't want to get the information wrong for the people. My goodness. So, yes, it'll be chalky. It'll be fun, though, I promise. Very interesting matchup here in Philly tonight with shooting guards where we got C.J. McCollum and J.J. Redick. C.J. McCollum, actually a graduate there. I don't even know if he graduated, but he did go to Lehigh, which is nearby, so somewhat of a narrative for him. Philly was doing pretty bad against shooting guards at the beginning of the season. They have improved, but I still think the narrative there is fun for McCollum. And then with J.J. Redick, I mean, I don't think anybody realizes what he's doing, and that's okay with me. He's played at least 29 minutes, 9 straight games, reaching 5X value in 7 of those 9 at his current price on FanDuel. I mean, I'll keep it going. Don't threaten me. As our boy Wags likes to say, don't threaten me with a good time. the consistency is there, and you know,
it is. Whatever. It is, and it's kind of one of those things like, you know, do you really, really, really want to do this? And the answer is you never really feel comfortable about rostering J.J. Redick on a 14-game slate. But he's going to be next to nothing owned, and he does have the ability to drop a 40 on you. So, with that said, it is Portland. And as long as C.J. McCollum doesn't try to call him fluffy and soft like those crepes he eats, then and blow kisses at him, then, you know, I think Redick is I think Redick's a pretty decent play. He's never been known as a cash game type player, but, you know, he's working his way in this scenario. He's working his way into that discussion with how consistent he's been this season so far.
Mm-hmm. All right, one name I just want to mention real quick before we get to maybe some guys that you haven't touched over yet. But just want to mention Marco Bellinelli's hit 5x value in 5 of the last 6 games. He's only 3,900 on FanDuel. Pretty good matchup here against the Clippers tonight. So it is what it is. I'm not, you know, I'm just here to report the news, folks. Any other shooting guards that we missed?
I think tonight's the Kent and Bazemore night.
You think tonight is the Kent Bazemore night, and why is that?
Because I'm the Baze Whisperer. And I told you to play him a couple weekends ago, and he went bananas, and I think tonight might be the night again, too. Not 100% positive. You're going to have to tune into the notes for me to actually know for sure.
Since you are the Baze Whisperer, have you told him that he looks like Reggie from Ballers?
No, but I did tell him that he his original FanDuel picture looked like a Velociraptor.
All right. That'll do.
Oh, and don't chase KCP tonight.
Don't chase KCP. Back end of a back-to-back.
Going into Utah.
The Kings.
Oh, sorry. The Kings. I'm sorry. It's the Bulls going into Utah.
Or as Shaq likes to call them, the Queens.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, maybe you can play KCP tonight. Don't chase Chris Dunn.
No Chris Dunn.
Just don't play Bulls. How about that?
Okay.
Not on the back end of a back. This is like we talked about, Denver Light. Back end of back-to-back going into Utah is almost as bad as back end of a back-to-back going into Denver.
All right. Let's go to small forwards. It's going to be headlined by – I'm sorry. You were done with shooting guards, were you?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, small forwards, headlines, as always, by it is with the big names here. So LeBron James taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Nets have allowed the most fantasy points per game overall. They have allowed the second most fantasy points to opposing point guards, which is where we'll see LeBron for most of the night. Hey, look, current price on FanDuel, though, it's interesting, right? Not the greatest history against the Nets since coming back to Cleveland. So when I looked at this, I was like, oh, they must have just been kicking their ass. Not even close. So Cleveland has only covered 3 of their last 8 games against Brooklyn. So obviously they're telling you we got some close matchups. I know this, being a Nets fan, watching the games, they're usually pretty close between the two teams. So if he's not performing, what's the deal? I mean, it's a fantastic matchup.
The fact that he's had other help before this year.
Okay. I could reason with that. You know, actually, now that you mention it, well, I knew that he had help, but, you know, Kyrie was like a huge Nets fan.
I did not know that.
I got to see. Well, he grew up in Jersey, but he was a huge Nets fan. So I wonder if he just absolutely crushed them. That's interesting. But, yeah, so with other help. So, all right, without all that help, LeBron did put up 60 FanDuel points against the Nets in that first meeting, a meeting that went down to the final seconds. So I assume you're pro LeBron today, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. If you're making 10 lineups, how many lineups is he in?
Three?
Really? Okay. So it's like a pro LeBron, not like a pro LeBron.
Right, exactly. It's I like LeBron, but he's not like a gotta have.
Okay. I can get down with that. Other interesting plays here. Now, we got the Greek in Phoenix. Keep in mind, Phoenix allowing second most fantasy points per game overall. I think this is like the ultimate sneaky bastard move tonight. Now, I know that the Greek, you know, since Bledsoe got to town, his usage hasn't been as high, really hasn't had to do too much of the lifting. But wouldn't it be so Greek of him to pop off for like 60, 70 tonight? I mean, after all, this is one of the best players in the NBA going up against the team with the third worst defensive efficiency. I mean, it could happen, right?
It could. I don't think it's likely, but it could.
It could. I mean, I was thinking about this last night. I was giggling inside because, I mean, it would be hysterical if the Greek just stole all Bledsoe's thunder.
I think that tonight might be a great pair. Like, I think you can pair them together, Bledsoe and Giannis, just because of the narrative. Like, I think that would be a phenomenal correlation play tonight.
Now, what's interesting here with the Greek is that since the beginning of, let's see here, since the beginning of November, he's only officially reached over 60 FanDuel points once, and that is, what, 9 games? Yeah, about that since the beginning of November. I mean, he's had a couple, he's had a 258 to 56, 53. But again, at his price, you know, I think, you know, we could probably try to do better for that. I love the Greek for GPPs. Just, I could see it happening against Phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Zero defense. All right. Two guys that were mentioned the last time we did this podcast. I guess we'll start with Kyle Anderson. Nola allowing the second most fantasy points to small forwards. Kyle Anderson's still affordable. He's played at least 30 minutes in 4 of the last 6 games, hitting 5x value in 5 of those 6 games. He's hit 6x in 3 of those 6 games. You going back to the Kyle Anderson well tonight?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. As I meant, the price is affordable, $5,200 on FanDuel. Not sure what it is on DraftKings. I've given up on them. I can't. And you mentioned it today in the Slack. You brought up a fantastic point where you said, you know, if you're on the fence about which site you're going to play today, today's the day to pick a side of the war today.
Yes, yes, that's
14 running games down on the middle of the battlefield here, folks.
Yeah, 14 games on the site you want to pick.
All right, so you like Kyle Anderson. How about Wesley Johnson, who becomes
no
a lot more intriguing now without Beverly?
No.
No.
No, because I like Lou Williams.
And you can't play the two.
I mean, you could have exposure like Lou Williams in this match. You could have Lou Williams in this lineup and Wesley Johnson in this lineup. I just like Lou Williams a lot better. I think the matchup plays more to his favor than, you know, to Wesley Johnson.
Okay. I would be a fool not to mention it, but Atlanta allowing the most fantasy points to small forwards. And, you know, Johnson, he's done his value job here in the last 3 games. So there is that. Kyle Anderson just took these same Atlanta Hawks to town in the last game. So yeah, Keep that in mind. Any other small forwards that you like tonight? Perhaps any of those gentlemen in the OKC Golden State game?
I mean, you could play Kevin Durant and Paul George. I mean,
I'm a fan of Paul George lately.
I think they're both in play. I think Paul George actually kind of likes it in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. The numbers say so.
Yeah. So, I'm very interested in Damari Carroll, but I don't know how severe the interest is. I'm intrigued. That's the word. I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I know it looks like a tough matchup on paper, but LeBron's not the defensive guy that he used to be, and I think he could actually get some more – I think you can get more steals. And I think with LeBron having to do so much on the front end or on the offensive end, then, you know, he's in play.
You want to hear an interesting stat? Of course you do. Cleveland has not covered one home game this season.
That is interesting. That is very interesting.
Yeah, I got nothing else for the small four. I like that play there. If you want to go dumpster diving at the bottom, I still proclaim that Joe Harris is a good minimum price option. Did not show it in that last game against the Warriors, but that's okay. Can't win them all, Chief. All right. Good.
I don't agree with that, but okay.
Well, fair enough. All right, let's get to the power forwards in this one. Got a lot of talent here on the slate. Who do you like the most out of these big names?
I think it's Anthony. I think it's Anthony Davis. It's definitely Anthony Davis. I mean, he's just
a dizzle.
Here's what's scary is Anthony Davis. I just ran five lines up in or lines in the domination stage. Anthony Davis didn't show up on one of them.
Really?
Yeah, Carmelo showed up on three, and then John Collins is showing up a lot. So
yeah.
I don't know anymore now. This has got me second. This has got me second guessing it only because of the fact that, like, I mean, we know that Ben Simmons is like
godlike
a point guard,
Australian godlike.
I don't know about Australian, but maybe
he's Australian.
Maybe European. I know that. I was using it as a joke, dude. Come on, pick up what
terrible.
I'm putting down.
Terrible.
I know I don't play Kristaps Porzingis. I think that Blake Griffin is got a phenomenal matchup, and I think he's underpriced for this matchup. Draymond Green can always take over a game in multiple different ways. I think Carmelo Anthony's in a great matchup because I think one of the ways to kind of neutralize Oklahoma City is to neutralize the pick and roll, and Carmelo isn't the one that initiates that 95% of the time. So I think he's in a good spot. I mean, obviously you got Kyle Kuzma, whose price is starting to get up there, but he keeps performing. And then I don't know how many people actually watched the game last night, but I think Julius Randle could be in play as well.
Interesting. I kind of like Zach Randolph tonight. Remember Sacramento, they're going to have to be dealing with Brook Lopez for portions of this game. I don't think Lopez is going to play a ton tonight, but I think that's how Sacramento is going to neutralize him.
Why do you think that Brook Lopez isn't going to play a ton tonight?
Back in, back to back. And he's a gigantic son of a bitch.
I'm going to have to look at what his minutes have been on the back end of a back to back because I really, really like Brook tonight.
Well, I mean, of course, the matchup is there. I'm just saying.
But if you're telling me that he's going to be limited because of minutes on the back end of a back to back, then.
I'm looking at it now. So his last back-to-back, he played 21 minutes. That was against the Wizards. One before that was in Brooklyn. He played 30, but, you know, they had to give him the beef there. At Utah, he only played 17 minutes on the back end of back-to-back. And then Phoenix, earlier this season, he played 32 and actually had a really good game against the Suns. So, again, it is anyone's guess. We'll have to look into this a little more, but I don't mind it if he's not limited. Let's talk about – you're going to probably be mad at me for, you know, since he's all over the domination station. But the domination station is not the only place that he is. But let's talk about John Collins and why he's ranked so highly today. I mean, I've seen him in a number of different places as the far and away leader in terms of value tonight. Any insight as to why?
Because he's playing a ton of minutes and he's cheap and he's actually been performing. I heard somebody say, you know, because of the record, Atlanta should be playing their small guys more or their young guys more. I don't think he plays another 36 minutes tonight.
Nor do I.
I think he plays more closer to that 28 mark. And if I hear who is player X one more time, oh my gosh. He's been mentioned 15 times in multiple channels, and everybody just comes in and just, who is player X? Who is player X? Who is player X? Player X is me.
Wait, no.
But, you know, this is a great matchup for him.
Player X, the son of Mountain.
If he's getting as much run around the DFS landscape as you're saying he is, then there is a good possibility I could be extremely underweight on him tonight. I mean, you could sit there and think about it, and you could go, okay, so he's 5,200. Marcus Morris has been playing more minutes, and he's going to, hopefully we don't get any news on his minutes, because I think that this could be one of the night that he gets closer to 30. You have Zach Randolph in another good matchup. You know, that's cheaper. Jerian Grant, cheaper. I mean, there's ways you can pivot off of a chalky John Collins.
For sure.
Especially if he's the hot name. I think you can put him in your cash lineup and then fade him in tournaments. I think that if he's going to be chalk for a 14-game slate, I think that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Not that I don't like the player or the play.
Yeah, for sure.
It's merely a game theory.
I'm a John Collins fan. I feel like I'm the one that introduced him to the Army this year. But
we were both on him at the beginning of the season.
I gotta take a look at Kenneth Faried for cheap. I gotta take a look at Biles. But
you can take a look. Window shop.
Gotta take a look.
But then you could take a look. Window shop. But then leave.
But on the higher end of the spectrum, obviously I love Ben Simmons in this matchup, and then I like Melo, who you mentioned as well. But like LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't have a huge issue going at NOLA, right? Because I know that the Spurs are going to need LaMarcus Aldridge on the court pretty much at all times to, you know, to counteract with Boogie and AD in this matchup. And, you know, you've seen it with teams. Like, they've been able to do well going up against New Orleans. Like, you're going to get some blocks. You're probably going to get some steals from sloppy-ass Boogie. You know, you're gonna get all these different things. So, again, I don't mind going at NOLA just on the pure fact that these teams, they need that big body in there to deal with AD and Boogie. So he will be out there, and he will get a plentiful amount of minutes. That I can guarantee. Unless he's an idiot and gets in foul trouble. But LaMarcus Aldridge is a pretty decent human being, as far as I know.
Yeah.
All right.
You also have... I have some interest in RHJ tonight.
Okay.
Am I crazy? Okay.
No, not at all. He, not exactly the most fundamental basketball player, but sure gets an A for effort every day.
Yeah, he comes hard.
The guy dribbles like he has two right hands, and he's a lefty.
That's funny.
I'm glad, like, the big thing for RHJ that, like, his free throw shooting has improved immensely. I know that I haven't really taken a look at the numbers, but every time I watch the games, they say, oh, he's improving, and he always makes them every time I see him. So, you know, as long as RHJ doesn't get any MVP chance, his free throw should be fine. I'm telling you, you want to kill somebody's free throw percentage, start chanting MVP.
Well, that doesn't happen to real MVPs, so.
Right. Whatever that means. All right. We all done on power forwards?
We chant MVP every single time that Russ is up to the free throw line.
And?
Doesn't seem to affect him.
I'm sure it does. You're just not noticing it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The next time you watch a game and you notice somebody's chanting MVP, just be like, oh, man. Oh, shit. Stop chanting it. Stop
like
chanting
I said,
it.
When they do that for real MVPs, guys that deserve it, then it doesn't affect them.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. A guy that has actually won MVP.
No, great. The guy that not only has won, but has a real, legit chance.
All right. Got a lot of catching up, dude.
I think you could shout, like, MVP. Let's just use Draymond Green, for example.
Okay.
Or Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. You know, those type of guys.
Good names. I don't definitely will be in the race.
I don't think that's going to affect them that much.
You chant MVP for Taj
Gibson or Otto Porter, and you might have a little bit of not only stupidity as far as fan base is concerned, but like I'm not chanting MVP for Lauri Markkanen anytime soon.
I would hope not. I mean, I'm a big Lauri fan.
As
my
both
cousin's
of us
name
are.
Is Lauri. It's a woman, but my cousin's name is Lauri.
So, all right.
Yeah. Last position. They called centers. Go.
We're going to talk about this guy here in a minute.
Sure.
But
waiting on pins and needles.
Yes. I think I mean, you can start with Marc Gasol.
I'm a Marc Gasol fan.
I think that Dwight Howard is a chase spot. I think Kevin Love is in a good spot. I mean, center, like usual, is kind of loaded. Are the Knicks at home tonight?
The Knicks? Yes, they are at home.
Okay. So...
Canner and Porzingis night.
No, Canner night. I do not play Chris.
I tried to slip in KP on you.
Nope. And then, like I said, I'm going to have to look into the situation, but I think Brook Lopez could be interesting as well going up against Sacramento. I also think that Yusuf Nurkic could be an interesting tournament play because nobody's going to touch him going up against Joel Embiid, who's
good
also
price, good matchup.
Yep, who's also in play.
Of course, the Embiid sir is in play.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting, and then I can't believe I'm going to say this. Hassan Whiteside has caught my eye. Center is loaded tonight, guys. Center is loaded. And then I've got a couple that I'm going to save for my notes. So
Interesting. All right. I like the Embiid play. I'm starting to loosen my grasp on, I'm not going to pay this much for this guy. This guy's just been fantastic. So I'm definitely going to loosen up on that. Again, Nurkic, who you mentioned, I like the price and the matchup for the opportunity. Love against the Nets, you mentioned. I think it's fairly simple here. I think DeMarcus Cousins is pretty interesting. If I'm not mistaken, he's got pretty good numbers against the Spurs lifetime. I don't know that for a fact.
He does. I think I remember that as well. Okay. We're going to talk about this situation. I'm not playing Greg Monroe.
Whoa! Hot take. Come on with it.
Center is too loaded to absolutely completely punt.
It is.
Like,
well, here's the bad part that I don't think anybody's looking at. Tyson Chandler's supposed to be back.
Exactly.
Right, all right. I don't think people knew that. I think they were just, hey, Monroe against Milwaukee, just blindly going that.
Greg Monroe, Milwaukee, I'm not playing Greg Monroe. I don't need to go there. Not for 18 minutes.
You go, girl.
Like, I want my centers. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I have 14 centers today projected over 30 minutes. Why am I going to go get a guy that's going to play 18 or 22 yeah. or 25. Like, I mean, I might go to Clint Capella, who's going to play like 27 minutes. I might go to Pau Gasol. Actually, I won't. Well, I might go. No, because I'm not playing over there
what?
Today.
What? Take it away.
I might. Away. Well, I was gonna say I might go to Pau Gasol on DraftKings where he's a little bit cheaper. You know, I might. I could possibly go to Enes Kanter. You know, but why am I gonna go to like a guy playing 20 minutes or well, a guy? Like, I don't care what the savings are.
Again, speaking for the crowd of people, again, I just don't think they're aware of the Chandler situation. Once they realize
it's not just Chandler though, dude.
That three centers will be in the mix.
It's not just Chandler though.
When?
No. It's not just that situation that I'm talking about. It's multiple situations across the industry today that everybody is so in love with these cheap centers. You want to be different in a GPP today?
You want to be a big boy?
You want to have a unique lineup out of 180,000 entries? You nix the stars and scrubs. You build as even based of a lineup as you possibly can. And that is all I'm going to say about that.
We're going with quality, girl. Yeah.
You go with quality over quantity.
It's going to be fantastic.
So, all right. I mean, yeah, I just don't need to go to guys playing 20 minutes at center.
Oh, one of the situations that you didn't bring up was Thin Maker.
Thanks.
So I'm just saying you didn't say him by name. I didn't want people to be like, oh, I didn't mention Thon Maker. That's a good spot.
He's one of the ones that I'm talking about, and he's not the only one.
He named names.
So, yeah, he's one of the ones I'm talking about, and he's not the only one. So,
is Dwayne Dedman another one?
Dwayne Dedman actually is slated to closer to that 27-minute mark.
Okay.
So he's on that cusp.
Clippers not that great against the center position.
Which is
season.
Very, very odd.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
So.
All right. Well, that's all I got. You?
Yep.
Done?
I'm done.
Fantastic. Good. All right. So, once again, if you like what you heard today, make sure you join us for even more time at DFSArmy.com. You can use that promo code PODCAST to get 20% off each month of your subscription. And, of course, everybody out there, have a good and safe Thanksgiving day out there tomorrow. I know Thanksgiving Eve is a big party night in a lot of towns, too, so be safe in that regard as well. We're going to get all this information out for everybody. I'm going to have mine out a lot earlier than usual today. It was up pretty damn early, so look for that at maybe like 3 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Eastern. Then all the key stuff comes a lot closer to lock, so beware for that. Mitch's article is already up on the site, too. You can read that if you're getting antsy for some information. And, again, don't forget to listen to the Geeks Thanksgiving Day podcast for all the NFL games. Always a great listen when the Geek is on the mic. And you don't know which rap song he's coming into this week. You just don't know.
Exactly.
I can't wait. All right. So, for me, Keith, rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.